This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. We're going to get to Iran midterms and stuff in a second. Just going to get back to your question in a second, but I have amazing news. So, a couple things I have to give you as background before I give you this amazing news. As background, James, my oldest son, he got sick last week. What it was, who knows? It was fever, cough. He got sick. He was sick. You know, the chills, he's laying in bed shaking, that kind of thing. Whatever, a couple days, fever. I had avoided it. All right, now this is, I said last week, we're talking Monday, Tuesday here. I had avoided it as best I can. Whatever, he lives in the house. We still let him live at home. Okay, that's that. Two other things as background here. Ab, as you know, she went to the University of Arizona. She was a gymnast at the University of Arizona. She's a huge University of Arizona fan. She's an alumni. I guess I kind of get it. Whatever. March Madness college basketball is on right now. Ab is a huge sports fan, super competitive, and they're deep in the tournament. Ab is really, really into it. I am not. I fell out of love with basketball years ago. I'm sad to admit I don't even watch it anymore. I don't watch it at all. But she wants to watch every game. They have a game tomorrow night. She wants to watch it. All right. Other thing. Tomorrow, my youngest son has a track tournament. It's an hour away. It's all day long. I would guess we're talking 8 a.m. to 3 or 4 in the afternoon, buddy. Oh, Chris, get ready. When your baby girl's old enough, get ready. You're going to be at all these things. So tomorrow, I could have 7 hours of a track tournament and get home and have to watch a college basketball game I don't care about. That's all the bad news. Here's the good news. Maybe you can even hear it in my voice. I think I'm getting sick. My nose is getting hot. You know how it feels like your nose gets hot when you're getting sick? That's usually a telltale sign. I'm feeling a little not 100%. I might wake up sick tomorrow. And I already texted Ab about it, and I did not get the kind of sympathy I was really hoping for. In fact, there were a lot of threats in there if I did not go to the track tournament with her tomorrow. Nothing I can do. It's about being polite. Jesse, if winding down the Iran conflict is critical to the midterms, then why give the enemy 10 or 15 days to regroup? The devils could rearm and attack again and start the whole mess all over again, destroying the timeline. All right, so background on this, and then we'll discuss this militarily. We're going to focus militarily for the most part. We'll get to the midterms in a moment. But background on this. Donald Trump wants this Iran thing to be over. He has a variety of reasons for this, not the least of which are independents have completely left us, young men. As we discussed, the coalition has completely abandoned us, the coalition that put Trump in the White House. And as you can see from the results of these special elections, if the midterms were held today, we're going to get annihilated. And what that means is endless impeachment hearings, inquiries. I mean, remember, look, it means this stuff.
Because I believe that there ought to be a special commission if Democrats take over the House of Representatives or the Senate. There should be a special commission that investigates ICE's legal violations and human rights violations.
You have any idea what the next 2 years will be if they take over? Donald Trump is aware of the coalition problems. Donald Trump is aware of the poll numbers that say Americans only want you to focus domestically right now. Okay, we got all that. Set that aside. So Donald Trump wants that off-ramp. He agreed to go over and do this whole thing. It was his decision. He has to own it. His decision. We killed the Ayatollah. We bombed out a bunch of Iranians. Now Donald Trump wants it to stop. That's why he talks every day about negotiations. Hey, we're going to send troops, but also we're negotiating. Things are going well. Things are going really well. All this plus Trump's public statement. His public statement was, and he put it on social media. I'm just going to paraphrase it. Hey, no more of this bombing power plant stuff until April 6th. Essentially a ceasefire. Everybody back off. Israel, stop. We're going to stop. Iran, you stop. Let's talk. Now, we're going to fire it all up again April 6th if we can't come to an agreement. So that's the threat part of the negotiation, right? Hey, I want to make a deal. I want to make a deal. Let's make a deal. If I don't make a deal, I'm going to hurt you. If you don't make a deal, I'm going to hurt you, but let's make a deal. You know, what do they call that? Gunboat diplomacy? That's what that is. So Donald Trump wants a deal. Donald Trump wants Iran to stop. If you are one of these people who wants Iran to stop, who wants this thing to be over, Donald Trump wants it too. That's the good news. I'll get to the bad news in a moment, but Donald Trump wants that too. He knows he has to have it. He knows his political coalition at home is disappearing. He has to have it. He knows it. He's aiming for it. That's all the good news. More good news. You mentioned, why give the enemy 10 or 15 days to regroup? In the United States of America, and thank you, Lord, for this, we do not appreciate what it is like to lose air superiority. We have wiped out the Iranian Air Force. We have taken them off the map. They don't exist anymore. What that means is Iran can and will do all kinds of things underground, if you will. Iran cannot move men and equipment en masse on the surface. If you lose air superiority and then you amass men or equipment on the surface, you will simply get them wiped out with one air run. You cannot do it. So is Iran doing things in underground tunnels and bunkers and inside buildings? Are they doing things right now to prepare for a potential America and Israeli invasion? Of course they are. I don't want to act like they're not. But as far as regrouping goes, there's nothing to regroup on the surface because you lost air superiority. Iran cannot touch our troops in any significant way unless our troops physically invade. Keep that in mind, because they lost air superiority. And I'm not saying that we're not going to lose anyone else to drone attacks and things of that nature, because we will. It is war. It is terrible. And keep these troops in your prayers. But in a significant way, Iran cannot bring harm to our soldiers unless we put their boots on Iranian ground. Now, if we do that, then what that does is that gives them the freedom to act like terrorists, which Iran knows a bit about that. Then that I don't know what will, but that could easily become an IED nightmare, mines, booby traps. That can become an extremely ugly bit of business if you go that route. Without American boots on the ground, Iran can't regroup a daggone thing in 10 or 15 days. Militarily, you should feel good about where we are. If you're listening to some kook who tells you militarily, we've lost. Militarily, it's going poorly. That's ridiculous. It's not true at all. However, what is a lesson we have talked about and learned many, many times before? There is always, in every war, a political side of it and a military side of it. We don't ever want to think about that. We want to imagine everything's just about bombs and bullets or swords and shields. It's all military, right? Nope. There is always, always a political aspect to a war. That's not just in America. The Mongols had to deal with it. Alexander the Great had to deal with it. The Romans had to. Everybody has always understood there is a political aspect to this whole thing, which brings us to the 10 to 15 days or April 6th. I'll spend a couple minutes on that. Then I'm getting the heck out of it. And we're moving on to talk about other things. All right. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. First of all, that Pinball Wizard song is ridiculous. There's no way somebody who's deaf, dumb, and blind can play pinball. That's a total lie. Don't believe a word they're saying. Second of all, you can email the show. We're still live here. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. So I brought up the political military aspect of it. The guy was worried about Iran regrouping militarily in 10 to 15 days. They can't do it in any significant way because they don't have air superiority. They've given up the air. We can wipe that out. Now, let's talk about this. There are three entities in this war. United States of America, Israel, Iran. Remember how foreign policy is always complicated? And why foreign policy is always complicated. Foreign policy is complicated because there are different motivations all around, always. And there are different motivations inside every single country. We'll pick a country and we'll say, well, they want this. But even in that country, there are divisions inside of that country. Look at our political divisions inside of our country. You think that's unique here? So foreign policy gets complicated because motivations are different. But let's look at this on a macro level. Donald Trump wanted to wipe out the Ayatollah, take out the mullahs, get rid of the nuclear program. Okay. Israel, as we discussed before, they wanted to take it way further than that. Israel views this as an opportunity to completely remove the evil regime that has threatened their very existence. They want complete and total victory, annihilation, all that other stuff. They want to go way further than we do. Okay, that's those two entities. Now let's look at Iran. Now let me pause before we look at Iran. I've told you to pray, and I'm going to ask you again to pray. That April 6th deadline, that's really, really important. And it's really important because if there's no deal reached by April 6th, I am worried that this thing gets scaled up in a very large way. Up in a very, very large way, meaning these are critical days right now. Now, back to Iran. Iran, do they want this to end? Now, you can argue, well, they have to want this to end. We're killing all their leaders. We've wiped out the Navy. They don't have an Air Force anymore. Of course they want it to end. Okay. Well, a little thought experiment for you. What is Iran's greatest weapon against America right now? What's their greatest weapon? Their greatest weapon is that the U.S. economy is not well. That's their greatest weapon. Because once the U.S. economy isn't well, then that hurts Donald Trump's poll numbers. If Donald Trump's poll numbers are bad, then the communists come back into power. Donald Trump loses power. Republicans lose power. Look, you can follow the logic. The greatest weapon Iran has is not something we can bomb or kill. The greatest weapon they have currently, their leverage, is the American economy and their ability to hurt it, thus angering independents, destroying the MAGA coalition, and making sure we get wiped out in the midterms. And Iran knows this. All three entities know this. America knows this. Israel knows this. Iran knows this. This is well known. Everybody knows this is the game. Everyone knows that's what's at stake here. So, if you're Iran, the Ayatollah's already dead. Your Navy's already gone. Your Air Force is already gone. You have not, up to this date, seen a massive uprising by the people that actually threatens to wipe out the regime. Is Iran as motivated to make a deal by April 6th as we are? And I don't know the answer to that question, by the way. I wasn't just trying to be coy, but are you sure Iran wants this to end? They already don't have a Navy and Air Force. That's already gone. If prolonging this hurts Donald Trump and guarantees a midterm bloodbath where Democrats wipe us out and now we have a communist revolution taking over the House and possibly the Senate at home, does Iran want it to end now? Maybe Iran thinks, we'll end it next month. Maybe another month. What difference does it make? And remember that this is a dirtball jihadi regime. They don't care about their people dying. Well, people will die. If Iran does that, people will die. These people have been killing women and kids for years. It's a bunch of scumbag terrorists who run that country. They kill their own people. They're famous for torturing and butchering their own women. You think they're going to stress? What's the stress? Leaders are already dead. They'll kill another batch of them. I worry in these negotiations that two of the three entities, two-thirds of the entities involved, don't want a deal to be made by April 6th. That's a problem, isn't it? Because it's tough to make a deal if everyone isn't kind of angling for the same thing and aiming for the same thing. Iran has signaled that they want to deal with J.D. Vance. The rumors are that J.D. Vance, although he's being a good soldier, he was the one who cautioned against this whole thing. Iran says, let us deal with J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is over there trying to work things out right now with Iran, dealing with these people. I don't know if he's physically there, but he's working things out right now. Trump wants it to end, sending J.D. Vance in there shows he wants it to end. Does Iran want it to end? Does Israel want it to end? Well, that's 66% of the entities involved. If the answers to those questions are no, then we got a problem. Like I said, now's the time to pray. We're done talking about this. I'm moving on. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Dear Cunning Linguist, what's your take on the greatest sandwich ever? Arby's traditional roast beef. I love Arby's. I have always loved Arby's. I do a raw Arby's sandwich. I've already told you about the most glorious fast food dessert ever, the Arby's cherry turnover, Arby's curly fries. Get those with an extra side of the spready cheddy. I am an Arby's man and have always been an Arby's man. And, hey, Chris, get this. I hear they do a good gyro. I heard Arby's has a gyro now, and I've heard it's good. You've had it? It's okay? What do you mean? What's wrong with it? It's not bad for a fast food gyro. You know what this is, Chris? I've spoiled you. That's what this is. I introduced you to the glory of some of these gyro shops around here, and now you're hooked. And they're kosher, aren't they? Are they not kosher? I thought they all say the halal or something like that. What? The yogurt spread isn't allowed? Why can't you people eat that? I thought that was... Chris, that's not meat and cheese. That spread is not cheese. That's not cheese. It's yogurt? Oh, man, you're in trouble, buddy. That sounds like a personal problem. Hey, fellow show... Hey, brisket meister. How can you have small hands and be 6'9"? I don't have small hands. Seriously, how is it that these people protesting against ICE with Palestine and Iran and basically everything un-American not know how this ends? Even though our educational system doesn't really teach history, they have to know that if they're LGBT and every other mental illness, that they'd be killed by the same outrage group. I'm a 50-year-old man, and I remember seeing what happens to useful idiots in the movies. Please explain. I have a few friends / family members who fall into that category. All right. It's the best way I can explain this again, because I've explained it before. Lord of the Rings. Did you ever watch any of the Lord of the Rings movies? Most people, I would assume you watched the Lord of the Rings movies. Honestly, I've seen them many times before. I love them. Absolutely love them. But Lord of the Rings. Remember, there's this big, what's his name? Saruman, I think he is. The big evil. Sauron. Sorry, Chris. Sauron is this big evil entity. He's the devil, the bad guy in this whole thing. He's the one creating these big evil armies. And what's he doing? He's trying to conquer all of the earth and destroy everything and take over everything, right? So there's this big Sauron guy, okay? But part of the storylines of Lord of the Rings involve this. This group of people, we'll say from New Jersey. The New Jersey people, they're trying to work with the New York people. And they're saying, hey, we got to fight Sauron. But the New York people have long-standing grievances with the New Jersey people. And they don't even agree on the best way to fight Sauron. Or that they even have to fight Sauron. Maybe I don't think we should fight Sauron. Maybe I think we should fight you. And oh, but wait, now we have people from Pennsylvania stepping in and saying, you guys are each wrong. And the smart people, the people you're screaming it, at least emotionally in the movie theater, you're screaming it of, can you all just focus? There is one gigantic evil entity. And if he wins, all is lost. Your grievances, New York versus New Jersey versus Pennsylvania, your grievances. In the end, they don't matter at all if Sauron wins. So shut up about your dumb grievances, join forces, and fight Sauron. Right? That makes sense? Now, here's how I want you to think about the communist coalition of malcontents. We're talking all the various freak parts of it. A coalition of the bitter. They all hate something. The race communists, the gay communists, the climate communists, the feminists, the jihadi communists, all these different groups. Here's what they have done, and it frustrates us. They have identified their Sauron, and they have united. They have joined forces. You're looking at them, and you're saying, hey, you bunch of gays, why are you joining forces with the bunch of jihadis? The jihadis want to kill you gays, and they're going to kill you. Can't you see? But it's you who cannot see. They have identified the great evil in their minds, and it's you. They think whatever happens afterwards, that will work out. For now, they have to put down their grievances with each other and address the true devil, Western civilization, Christianity, white people. These are Sauron in the eyes of the American Communist Coalition. I'd say American, that's actually not fair. Australia goes through this. The UK goes through this. All of Western civilization is dealing with the exact same struggle at the exact same time. A domestic communist coalition that has united. They have united in opposition to what they believe is the true high enemy. You. Make sense? I know I had to use kind of a ham-fisted Hollywood analogy, but it's hard for people. It's hard for people who go to, or they look at one of these stupid Palestine rallies, and then you see a bunch of Lindsey Grahams running around the place with the pink feather boas and everything, and you look and you think, they throw you people off of rooftops. What are you doing? How could you do it? Or Jews, American Jewish people on the left will get involved. You see this with the Palestine stuff, and they'll be out there screaming about how great Palestine is. And you say to yourself, are you aware of the views of the people down there? They have found a greater evil, and it's you. You are their Sauron. They've identified the ultimate common enemy. And in their minds, and by the way, they're not incorrect about this. Their revolutions, even though they may differ in the end, none of their revolutions can succeed without you being defeated. I hope that actually gives you heart. I hope that makes you stand up straight, sit up straight in your chair, and realize that you are the wall. You, what you want, you, your family, raising good people, raising patriots, working hard, you are the wall that holds back this coalition of animals as they try to beat it down and destroy everything we love. That is you. And that is why we get involved in all this. That's why we stay involved in all this. Even on the days where we're bored with the news, on days where we're disheartened, where we're look, on days where the Senate GOP passes some stupid, hey, you can defund ICE, and then hops on a plane to leave town, and you and me sit down, and we say to ourselves, I freaking quit, man. I'm so tired of this. I'm tired too. You're tired, and I'm tired. We got it. We're all tired. They are not tired. They are still trying to beat down the walls of Western civilization, and you are that wall. So, we got to keep marching. All right? All right. Should you be afraid to go to a Memorial Day celebration? Women announcing sports. Save Act. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Friday. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour left. Let's get back to the questions. Hi, Senor Jesse.
Buenas tardes.
That's the right one, Chris. My son's high school marching band was invited to participate in the National Memorial Day Parade this year. We are so excited for this trip. On Tuesday, you played the clip of the woman encouraging death to the president and his family. She also mentioned that D.C. and Mar-a-Lago should be the target. I know we're not supposed to live in fear. I'm starting to worry a bit that that big event being a target. I'm wondering if the extra security in D.C. is going to be adequate for an event like this. Literally, don't mention my name, please. I know she said that word literally to get a rise out of me. It's not going to work. Not going to mention her name, though. Go to the parade. Live your life. We do not allow our lives to be governed by the violent communist savages in our midst. We live our lives and march on. Do you remember how great Charlie Kirk's memorial was? Remember that? It was powerful. We watched it as a family. You know one of the most powerful parts about it? That we did it at all. We just had one of our leaders martyred, and then tens of thousands of people gathered in a large public square out in the open to say goodbye, praise God, come together, gathered without fear. That was powerful. We do not allow communist savages to take things away from us. Let your boy go. You go. Have the time of your life. Just remember, keep your eyes open. And especially you, because it was a woman who wrote this in. Get off your phone, all right? I say this because women have to spend all the time in their phone taking pictures of everything and posting it on Facebook and Instagram. Take your pictures, put your phone right back in your little hot chick purse. Do your posting on Instagram later when you get back to the hotel. Open up your eyes and look around you, all right? Jesse, a lot of what goes on in professional sports now is very irritating. But to me, the worst is women doing the commentating on NFL and Major League Baseball games. Their screechy voices and their stupid questions to the players. Are you as a man drawn to their beauty, or do you feel about them like I do? I am a woman, by the way, she says. No, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. And the worst part about it is it only happened because we as a society, we as men, can't say no to anything now. No. You have to accept me. Why? No. But I want in. No. But I feel like I deserve it. No. But you don't have any women in there. Yeah, I know. The answer is still no. It's totally fine to have exclusively male things. In fact, it's preferred. It's totally fine, by the way, to have exclusively female things. That's great. That's preferred. It's fine. Everybody doesn't need to be included in everything, but nobody can simply say no anymore. Nobody, not men and not women, want to hear a woman sit down and break down an NFL game. Major League Baseball this year has introduced a female umpire. Why? Because nobody could say no. Well, I want in. No. But I'm offended. Yep. The answer is still no. Go do something else. That's a job for men. But because men are so feminized and pathetic and weak and worried about offending somebody and worried about some harpy screeching at them about something, they don't have the guts to simply say no. Maybe if they took male vitality stacks from chalk, this wouldn't be a problem. That's probably the issue. It's low testosterone, because we've lost 1% of our testosterone every year for 50 straight years. We have lost half the testosterone in the country for 50 straight years. Now you turn on the baseball game and you hear, strength three, you're out. No more. Regain testosterone, regain the United States of America. Take a male vitality stack from chalk like I do every single day. You will jack your T levels through the roof without a pill bottle and without a needle in your arm. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. You want to be strong enough to tell a woman no? Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. Jesse, Senate Republicans do not want to exercise the nuclear option and pass the SAVE Act. Their fear is the Democrats will pass legislation when they take back control. But as you say, if the SAVE Act is passed, the Democrat Party will not exist. So if what you say is true, where is the disconnect with Senate Republicans? He says, Semper Fi. Semper Fi, my man. The disconnect is not with Senate Republicans, sir. The disconnect is with you. You think Senate Republicans want the Democrat Party to disappear. That's the disconnect. Senate Republicans, they want to be in the minority. They don't want to actually have to govern. They don't want to actually have to do something. They're extremely uncomfortable with that. What they want is to be in the minority, and then they can go on TV every night. You'll see them on Fox News every night expressing their indignant outrage at whatever the latest thing the communists have done is. And then they'll send an email. In fact, you know what? Forget about that email. They'll send 8,000 text messages to your phone that night. Hey, I'm Senator John Curtis of Utah, and I'm here fighting Democrats, but I can only do that with $50 from you. Will you give me $50 so I can go back and fight Democrats? Don't ever think that because you want to save the country and you vote for Republicans that that somehow translates into Republicans wanting to save the country. Granted, many of them do, some of them do, but in the Senate especially, there is a cabal of Senate Republicans who have no desire whatsoever to defeat the communists, to save America, to do any of these things you think about and talk about all the time. That it never crosses their mind. It never crosses their mind. Do you know how aggravated with you Senate Republicans get? That when they find out that, I have to say something positive about the Second Amendment. You know what goes through their head and what comes out of their mouths in closed doors? These idiots. These stupid hicks. They're so dumb. I guess I'll have to talk about showing ID to vote. Tell these stupid rubes what they want to hear. This is how they think about us. This is how they talk about us. Oh, they fight really hard for us on camera, of course. When it's hearing time, they'll have some great fire and brimstone questions. And then, miraculously, the fundraising emails go out immediately afterwards. But when it comes time to actually vote on things that will tangibly save the United States of America like you want and like I want, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. We tried our best we could. We got to go into recess now. Too bad, so sad. We'll get them next time. Pathetic. All right, we still have an hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.